right, so we are going to... Last week we talked about me, and this week we're talking... I have some questions for you. These are the questions that you know these questions.
Yeah, I wrote these questions.
You wrote these questions, and you sent these questions to me. You originally wrote them to ask me, turned the tables, and I'm now going to ask you, DM Dingo, what is your sign? No, I'm kidding.
I'm a Gemini.
Gemini. Okay, so the first question, these are going to be mostly magic related for the most part. You did answer them a little bit when you were asking me these questions last time, but...
And to be fair, those haven't even been... I don't know if we're going to splice them in. We'll see how you do the editing here.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if this... if it becomes one episode of us both answering these questions, or if we each get our own episode. We'll see. But anyways, the first question to end this suspense. What is your favorite format to play?
The formats I do play, we'll start with that, right? Of course, EDH, Commander, right?
Uh-huh.
As if anyone's ever watching us while we're talking, they'll see that we're playing that.
yeah.
Then also, I play Modern and Pioneer. I played Standard back in the day, but I don't bother with that anymore. I just can't be bothered to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess technically Historic on Arena when I do play that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest you get to Modern.
Yeah.
But favorite wise, I would have to say it's probably Modern.
Okay.
Just because that's really where I cut my teeth when I was playing.
Uh-huh.
Back when I learned how to play and like thinking in that 60 card format and like the different shenanigans you can get up to with how you build your deck and doing all this other stuff, which is why I have too many Modern decks and Pioneer decks. The only reason I built some things to Pioneer is because it's like, well, if I remove this one card, it's Pioneer, right? Or yeah. I could do what I want to do without all this. So it's like, well, if we can, we'll just make it that. Even then, like the two technically standard decks, I think they're still standard. I just call them Pioneer because it's like whatever, they'll rotate in.
Yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't like a good game of Commander or EDH, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not as into deck building for that yet just because it takes too much energy to do singleton deck building compared to 60 card, get it out, get it done. Doing your thing, you're optimized, right?
Because I played for so long before Commander even was a thing nationally, building for 60 card is so much easier for me than it is. Like, I know building Commander is difficult just on already, but the fact that I'm so familiar with 60 card format compared to singleton, it is just so much easier for me to build for 60 card formats.
Here's the thing is like the thing I love about Commander is if you're not running a bunch of tutors and you're not playing that CDH level deck, there's some variety to how your games play out. Right.
Yeah.
And I love that aspect of it where I can play the same deck and have a different experience, especially if you're playing a pod of people. And I like doing that too, where it's more of that social aspect. When I learned to play, it wasn't just 1v1. We did multiplayer Modern, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you do like two-headed giant even, which is, I love two-headed giant.
Uh-huh.
I remember like we used to get together at this community center and it'd be a bunch of us and it might be like 8 to 9 people doing one massive game of Modern.
Oh, wow.
And
that's crazy.
You turn and go and like, there's enough people where there's interaction to stop people's win cons, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I love that. I miss that. Because you can make your deck a little bit slower for that.
Uh-huh.
And then like a little bit more mid game, late game, because you knew that there wasn't any aggro that was viable, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, like I remember my buddies and I, when we would play, like before we got into Commander, we were essentially doing that. We were playing three, you know, kitchen table, Modern, Legacy, that kind of thing. And it was interesting to see how much better my decks would be when I was playing three player compared to singleton, like, or not singleton, but one-on-one, because when it's one-on-one, there's only one target. There's only one person to blow up the creature, you know, like it.
Yeah.
When there's more than one, it's like, okay, there's more choices, you know?
Well, that's even the thing we run into, like you and I play a lot of Commander together, but it's 1v1. Like our decks are not playing the way they would naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like, I think even the last game you and I played, both of our decks were doing really well, like doing their thing, but it's like, if I can swing, I swing. If I can't, I can't, right? I'm gonna interact. Exactly. Like it's literally tit for tat, just done.
Yeah, there's no like, let's see what somebody else does, because there's nobody else. It's, you know, like okay, so all right. So those are the those are your formats. Okay, so now next question. Do you have a favorite deck? I'm very interested to see what your answer is on this one.
I have a few, right? So, and it really depends on the format we're talking about, right? So for Commander, my favorite would be my Urlash deck. Lashed, there's not an R there. However you say it, right? The Hellion Hydra.
Oh, yeah.
That deck needs some love and needs some tuning. The reason that's my favorite Commander deck is because, like, that's the first Commander I ever sat and said, okay, I'm going to build around you, right? Like, and that was back before I quit playing before. And then, like, you know, I had uploaded my deck list to a website, and then, like, when I came back in, I was like, okay, cool, I could, you know, start again from there, right?
Yeah.
Which is the thing, like, if you're ever considering it, just load your deck list. You might want to pick that deck back up later.
Exactly. But, oh yeah, like just having a deck list that you can access later is so nice. Like
I do like Moxfield now for that. Like, it's funny because I was using Vault X back in the day.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the few actual deck list sites there were back in the day. So like I had a few on there. And then I went to MTG Goldfish, which I like building in there for looking at mono values, looking at the cost of the cards, and like doing a lot of that stuff. It's not as user friendly on other interfaces. Moxfield's better for like click and removal.
Yeah.
And like seeing your tokens at the bottom of the screen. I love that part.
Oh yeah, that's a nice feature.
So I've been making sure to get all my stuff up like uploaded and like in folders and stuff like that. So then Moxfield has the ability where when you go to share your deck, you can print a QR code. So if anyone ever wants to know your deck list, you have it printed out, just scan it and like see it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so okay.
Well, that's my Commander favorite deck.
Oh, okay, Commander favorite deck. Okay, so what are your other favorite decks?
So for Modern, I have a few that like are up there. If people have seen different podcast episodes, there's one where I was playing Goats versus Rats, right? For just silliness, I love that deck because I put a lot of love into making those proxies.
Yeah. You did a really good job with those too.
I really love the way it came out. I want to play that deck more, but it you know, I need to give love to other ones too. There's an older Tron deck I have that I've semi-upgraded that I love for that same aspect. That was a deck I used to run back in the day. Same thing, like I still have a few other the decks themselves I didn't get rid of. For like my land destruction and like a wall deck, but like those aren't in the tops. But I think my favorite Modern deck that I have is named Bert. the thing about me is I name every deck. I don't just name it like Burn or Aggro or Selesnya, whatever, right? I name them. Every one of them. Oh, it's named Bert.
You're rubbing off on me too, because when I made the standard deck for that event that I was in, I named it a Gruul standard because it was Gruul, and I was playing off Cruel. So yeah, you're rubbing off on me, man.
It's good though. I mean, like, to be fair, like it's getting hard to name some of these decks. I have too many. But no, so it's a Rakdos deck that focuses on mostly black burn with a little bit of red in there, right? So it runs the Cauldron Familiar, the Witch's Oven, has Oni Cult Anvil in there, and like everything else is just on killing that cat and bringing it back. But it's not like optimized for that. It's a deck list I actually put together myself. So like, I'm not just going off of like some tournament deck list someone else did. It shares some things, because, you know, cat and oven, like that's a big combo piece. But
yeah,
that deck, it's mean.
But you, yeah, mean decks. It's so funny because you're such a nice guy, but your decks are like angry. Is that how you get your anger out? Is through your decks?
Yeah, sure. No, I mean I listen to metal, but no, like I have other decks that I like to play too that aren't just mean. Like I love weird combo decks, which is again like by the 60 card format, right?
Yeah.
Because like I'll find a card and I'm like, this is weird. I want to see if I can make it work.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, like, one of those decks is Quicksilver Fountain, right? And if you're not familiar with it, that's the card where I get to put a flood counter on a land and it becomes an island, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm running that card with Choke and everything else that makes it so you can't untap your islands.
Jeez.
So it's a weird troll deck.
I love how you're like, oh no, I also do other cards. I like weird combos, and then you explain an extremely mean combo.
I mean, it's not aggro though. I mean, talk about aggro. I have my green beans deck, which is just green stomp with Galta. You know.
Well, no, that's fine. I'm talking about, like, I was talking about mean, but that's okay. You continue.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, if we ever get to. If we're playing Commanders tonight, I'm playing stacks against you, so we'll see how that
goes. Oh, yeah, no. No, let's play Sealed. I like Sealed. Sealed's a good thing. Unless you somehow figured out how to play stacks in Ixalan Sealed. Okay, so let's... I'm breaking this question up into two, just to make it a little bit, kind of straightforward. So what are your favorite guilds on Ravnica?
Card-wise and, like, colors I like to play, it's Orzhov and Dimir and Simic.
Okay.
A little bit of Golgari, right? I have a lot of black white decks in general. It's a problem. I think, not talking about like deck constructions, I like Rakdos for the just the chaos that they are, but not necessarily the gore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like there's that air of, you know, freedom, like what red brings in, right?
Uh-huh.
But I think I would have to go with like Orzhov would have to be my favorite one, just because that's the color pattern I fall into all the time.
Uh-huh.
But if like you're talking just like what they do, I mean, Selesnya is the nice one, right?
yeah, they're the hippy dippy ones. They're like the hey man, everything's cool.
A little bit of gruel though, you know, just want to smash some stuff, right?
I can see that. Okay, so now let's do, what are your least favorite guilds?
Is it?
Is it? I like how you just had that. Just is it? Bow.
Yeah, no, it is. I don't really play a lot of blue unless it's like with something else, like Dimir color, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I never liked. Is it? They're kind of like stuck up scientists, snotty guys. Like, oh, look at us, we're so smart. We're gonna blow up the world.
I will admit, I do like the aesthetic of Is it. Like, I do like Ralzeric. I do like all of that. But the gameplay, I don't like Is it, because it just, I don't know. I just don't like that style of gameplay. It tends to, yeah. It's just not my
control aggro.
Yeah.
It's what are we like? And like there was one deck I had back in the day that was blue and red, and it was creatureless, and it wasn't good, but I was running a bunch of counter spells, copy spells, and burn spells, and that's all it was. Like, oh, you want to play something countered, or you're gonna play, I want to play it too.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
like, oh hey, here's a lightning bolt that I copy twice.
yeah. So let's do the next one. What setting would you love to see?
So I answer this a bit if you get that audio up ever, but the Azghul, I think is what it's called, or whatever that fireplane.
Oh yeah,
was.
Yeah, Azghul, yeah.
If that's correct, I don't claim to know these things. That and like I think it was like Segovia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those ones I would love to see. That, and I would honestly like to see more of the world that Strixhaven was on, not just the school.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
I was just gonna say, like, they did the five schools, right?
Uh-huh.
But like, what about the other combinations? Like, there, I mean, granted, Kamigawa right afterward had the other five combinations, like,
yeah,
like they did that to balance the cards and all that other stuff, but like, come on, I want to see, give me some three color cards there, right? Like,
yeah,
why can't the professors be, you know, Bant?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to cheat and say I want to see more earth.
I want to see more earth.
Because I want more Fallout. That's yeah, not even how fun. I want more. That and more dinosaurs, more, you know, more of these universes beyond things. I like those.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. What bad guy would you be a minion for in Magic? Obviously,
there's the big bads that we have out there, right?
Uh-huh.
Bolas would be interesting because like he's the one that's least likely to kill me, but I also don't think he would care if he did.
Yeah.
Phyrexians are Phyrexians. Like, you're not really you at that point, right?
Yeah.
A big fool would be a Praetor though, but that's not a minion.
Yeah.
I can't be a Sliver unless I get like some sort of like you know, the Last of Us infectious like fungal thing on my face and it makes me sliver. And then like the other ones as well. Oh, the Eldrazi's. That you don't really get a choice with that one.
Yeah, that's that just kind of happens or you're dead.
To be fair, like of all those, I do like the Eldrazi's the most.
Yeah.
Mostly because, you know, I like playing Colorless Tron. But I really love the lore that's behind them being prayed to as gods over those past couple thousands of years.
Yeah, like in fact, I was going to mention that. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw the same Reddit post I did about the flavor text of Soul's Attendant. Did you see that? No. There was somebody posted asking a question about the flavor text, because the flavor text is and the creature is Soul's Attendant, a white for 1/1 creature human cleric. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield, you may gain one life. In truth, her own faith was gone, trodden in Ulamog's wake. She pantomimed the blessing in the hope that it would inspire others to continue to struggle. Somebody posted asking about, like, what religion was it that she, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd actually ever read that flavor text. And I've played with that card, that very copy of the card, for years. And I never looked at that flavor text. And that flavor text is super poignant to me. Like, I don't know why. It strikes a chord. And I just think that's so interesting about how, like, the Eldrazi were, like, they were worshipped as these gods. And then they show up and they just wreck shop. And wow. Like, devastating.
I do love how they did that, though. Because, like, you didn't know what they were beforehand, right? You didn't get the backstory of Sorin and Nirhiri and Ugin there, right? Not until later, when they're like, you know, Chandra's being a little hothead, right?
Yeah.
And like they accidentally crack the frickin' vault that they're in. It's interesting that like they've been like oozing their presence out of the planet. Uh-huh. And like that's how the vampires on Zendikar came to be. Uh-huh. It is actually Eldrazi corruption, right?
Yeah.
And then the card was like one of my favorite artworks, the Shrine of the Forsaken Gods. And like it's good because like you look at it, it's like the angel in the middle is Emrakul, right?
Yeah.
And then you have Ulamog and Kozluk on the side, and like I just want to see a Emrakul card where she is that look.
When did you start playing Magic?
So there's a couple different points, right? When I was really young, I randomly bought a pack of cards once, not knowing what it was. I had that, never played with those ones. I do remember getting a Trench Worm in it, though, right?
Uh-huh.
That's only ever been printed once, so you can figure out when that was by the year. a friend my brother had built me a deck once for some Pokemon cards, tried teaching me, and that was the only time I played that. And then when I got into college, I started, and that was like, I want to say around 2010, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
When I actually like properly started playing, and then promptly stopped in 13 when I moved for work. So, and then didn't pick it back up again until I started buying cards for, I bought a few packs of, Time Spiraled Remastered and then bought Strixhaven.
Ah.
Yeah, so I have a more of a gap of not playing than I do of years actually playing.
Yeah. Still, hey, you know, I think most Magic players have those stops in time, you know. It's like, oh, I stopped because of this or that or whatever.
Well, I mean, but yeah. Kids are expensive and collections are worth something, so
hey, I am not ashamed to say that my comic collection helped pay for this house, so I am not like not it's not like the palace is paid off, it helped pay for the down payment. But okay, what was the next question? Any tattoos, and if you're comfortable, what is it, and what Magic tattoo would you get if you were to get one?
So this question was when I did it for you because I didn't know if you had any.
Uh-huh. All right.
Let's see. How many do you think I have?
I think this is a little bit of cheating because I think you mentioned it in the Discord a couple weeks ago. You have like what, 15? You said
13. Yeah.
13. Ah, yes. A little bit of cheating because I remember you said it, and I remember it was in the teens, and I remember going, "Wow." That's a lot.
Yeah, so no Magic ones yet, and I think I'd still semi stick to what I briefly talked about before, but that being, like, I like some of the set symbols. Like, I like the Eldritch Moon one, right?
Uh-huh.
And then also I like the Waste Diamond, because, like, I like colorless.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really go with, like, a guild insignia. I'm not really that obsessed with them. It's funny, because I do have a small, like, minimalist sun that's almost Orzhov, but Orzhov has more to it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a few, like, other nerdy IP ones here. Like, I have the Swordfish from Cowboy Bebop, if you know that's Spike's ship.
Oh, yeah,
and then
yeah.
I also have the Edge Runner logo from Cyberpunk.
Oh, cool.
And then I have a Cubone tattoo as well, I just remembered.
Oh, cool.
Which is funny, because my playmat today is a Cubone. But yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Ever since we talked last week about me getting, because I said I was going to get a Johnny on my forearm.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I might do that.
I was going to say, just like, again, like start smaller. You want it to be something that you're not going to sit there and regret your commitment as you're sitting there for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then the thing too with tattoos is, like, it hurts for a bit and you're like, why'd I do that? And then a few months later, you're like, I want to do that again.
Yeah, I've seen that in action with my wife. Yeah, she had one from college, and she kept saying for years that she wanted to get another one, and then finally she got the other one, and then it's been off to the races. She's gotten another one since, so she's gotten two since, and she's now planning for her next one. I'm just like, oh god.
My trick is I'll get a couple in one sitting,
uh-huh.
And I don't make them that big typically.
Uh-huh.
Like the one on my one forearm's a lot bigger. And then I have like one on the upper arm of that arm as well. That's a bit bigger too, but like not a full sleeve. I actually have a little, so like when I got my, Edge Runner tattoo, I got two other little tattoos at the same time.
Uh-huh.
One is a little voodoo doll, which uh-huh. I like, because like, I really like Stuffy Doll as a card. Uh-huh. And then also uh-huh. I like Korn. And like their Issues album has a voodoo doll on it, and that doll is on a couple of their album artworks.
Uh-huh.
So like that's that relation to me. And then the other one's a little ghost, right? So I have a little Bert on my arm too.
Nice. I just had an idea while you were talking that I think I want to get Fibblethip somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As well. I would love to get Fibblethip somewhere. Cause I freaking, like, I will say one of my favorite card arts of all time now is the Borborygmos and Fibblethip. Just yes. Because just seeing, like, I realize it's ridiculous. I realize that a lot of people who are like, you know, they really like that Magic is a serious fantasy, you know, like high fantasy type thing. But there is just something I just absolutely love about having this gigantic Cyclops monster and this teeny little dude on the bottom going, death, you know, like, I just love it. I love it.
So is that your favorite artwork?
It's not my favorite artwork, but it is up there. Like it is up there. I gotta say, Storm the Seed Core from March of the Machine.
Okay.
Oh, that rocketed up pretty high. That's like
Renaissance era level good.
Yeah, like he knocked that out of the park. Yeah, there's a lot. Like that's definitely a question. I don't know. I could fully answer.
So, like I mentioned before, I like the Shrine of the Forsaken Gods, but that's more uh-huh. lore-wise I like it.
Uh-huh.
My favorite artwork would have to be the Godless Shrine from Unfinity.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And, like, that's all the other Unfinity lands are also really great.
Oh, yeah. They're gorgeous. But,
like, that one is like, oh.
Yeah, they're just, oh, God, there's so many. I love, in fact, the art is really what brought me into Magic. Is the art. Like I loved the art on the cards, and because when I was a kid, I was much more artistic and I liked to draw, and I just saw this art and I was like, I this is just amazing. And then I got into the game and all that, but oh man, love that art. Okay.
I am not artistic in the least bit. My daughter's already better at drawing than I am. but no, like for me, it was the friendships I made. No, no, my art is in music.
I fancied myself an artist for years and then fell off pretty hard. just because I learned that You have to practice every day, and that is not something I wanted to do. Okay, so what abilities do you want to see more of?
So there's a little card that I, for some reason, I don't know why, but I love the little dude, and that is Slitherhead.
Okay.
It was from one of the Ravnica sets, and it has Scavenge.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So it's one Golgari to cast, so it's green or black. It's a little 1/1, and he has a Scavenge 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he's dead, you can pay one and put a +1/+1 counter on a creature.
Uh-huh.
I like that ability. I love to see more of that kind of, not recursion, but utilization of the graveyard, right? Like, you're recycling your card.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. That makes sense.
Because also, I do like the modified abilities and, like, leaning into that. I want to see more of that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
The big one I want to see, and I really do, I just want it in, like, a Modern Horizons set. And I want it to be just a few cards, like, give some love, but give us something else with Ripple.
Ripple? What did Ripple do?
You know what Thrumming Stone does?
Yeah.
It gives everything Ripple 4. cast a spell, you look at the top 4 cards of your library, and then if any of them are the same spell, you cast that spell, and it gains Ripple 4, and keep going and going and going.
Oh my god. Oof.
Ripple, like, Thrumming Stone in, like, a Dragon's Approach deck is the... It is literally the toaster to your toast.
You're so unlocking possibilities in my brain.
There's not a lot of good Ripple cards. Really, Thrumming Stone's it. Uh-huh. And Thrumming Stone, I discovered, like, back when I was playing back in the day. Like, uh-huh. It was one of those things where you're just staring at the display case and it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's like, I need this. that's also how I got my first Eldrazi. But that's, you know. Yeah, it's bunkers and, like, rat decks.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I could put that in a rat deck.
That and the Shadowborn Apostles, any of these decks where it's like, hey, you can have any number of these cards. It's, if it's not in your deck, it's like, what are you doing?
All right, I'm going to be deck building late tonight. Okay, and then final question. Of all the Planeswalkers, including ones that are sadly no longer with us, or happily no longer with us, depending on your opinion, who would you fanboy over, and which one would you be arch enemies with?
If we're talking, like, Planeswalkers I like in general, like a card game, like, I play a lot of black, so, like, Liliana's a decent one. But, like, I don't think I'd be able to get over the smell of death.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Nahiri was... I like her storyline. I don't like that she's becoming, like, the villain, but, like, she... They need to commit her one way or the other is really what it is.
Yeah.
I love the fucking rampage she went on against Sorin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not just screw you, screw your planet.
Sure.
No, that's a level of petty revenge that I can get down with. I think the one I want to see more of, and I don't remember their name, but it's that the one that became, like, the Commander Planeswalker child that has, like, the locust in the picture.
It's right here. Aminatau.
Yeah, like, card and lore wise, I want to see more of that one, and I want to see more of Grist.
Okay, that makes sense. And did you say which one you would be arch enemies with?
Probably. Is his name Luca?
Yeah, Luca.
That dude didn't deserve the abilities he had.
Yeah. That's another story fail. Like, they set up this really cool looking, really, like, I thought he was going to be the hero of the whole thing, and then they just chatted him out, man. They just...
Well, and he was just... I get it, like, they don't have uniform schooling systems, but, like, that dude needed to stop eating rocks for breakfast.
That makes me angry, because I had high hopes for him. I had really high hopes for him.
Not like he was so close in the last arc with him to having, like, he could have done great. He really could have. And, like, it'd have been awesome if, like, he didn't just, like, immediately go, hey, I'm going to buddy up and pair with this Phyrexian. And, oh, hey, look, I'm Phyrexian because I'm dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, okay. All right, well, that pretty much covers the questions for the day. Did you have any other things you wanted to add before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's linked in the stuff. I need to actually update like my info I give you. But I do have another album dropping when it should be the same day this episode drops.
Oh, cool. Yeah, definitely give me the link, and I'll be sure to have it in the description.
You can catch that on anywhere you listen to music.
Excellent. Awesome.
And that about does it for today's discussion on Beyond the Deck Box, where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering. You can find us each week on the YouTube channel FDSMTG, or you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. Just look for Beyond the Deck Box. You can find DM Dingo on Twitch, or you can find him on the FDSMTG Discord, link in the description. You can find me, FDSMTG, on YouTube, or at FDS_MTG on Threads, or on Mastodon, kind.social. Thank you so much for tuning in, and you all have a wonderful day.